Good afternoon, Timeline Earth co-hosts, guests, and listeners. Go fuck yourself. This is Aaron with an update. As you may have noticed, my main on Twitter was nuked. It was reported for saying So you can find me on my alt at TLEBTWAGFY. That's Timeline Earth, Boys Town with Aaron. Go fuck yourself. In other news, I've been a homeowner for 5 days and I'm currently on the top of a high rise, considering taking a short trip to the ground floor. The only thing that might persuade me to do otherwise is I really want to see where this giant Syrian puppet story goes. I'm very interested in that. I hope that Carr and Bird have the wherewithal to speak on this subject because it may save my life. As part of the landed class now, I'm planning on enforcing some more serfdom to my inferior co-hosts. That's not Carr Campit. He is also part of the landed elite with me now. So that may also persuade me not to swan dive off this roof. Have a good day, and as always, go fuck yourself.
Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. Infinite length, but infinitesimal good. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends in meters on the timeline Earth. Infinite extension in both of the directions. Timeline Earth.
Speak now or forever hold your peeps. Yeah, check this out. Naked Hunter Biden tells Hooker that Russian drug dealers stole another laptop for blackmail. In 2019, the video shows naked Hunter Biden telling a prostitute, we don't know if she was Russian or not, that Russian drug dealers stole one of his laptops for blackmail. This was in January of 2019, which if you'll notice is coming around the end of his 2018 Las Vegas 18-day bender where he almost overdosed.
What do you do?
How are you feeling about that one? The guy is really living the life.
Yeah, he really is.
Right?
I mean, does this guy just sit around and soil laptops and then just send them out into the world? How many more laptops? You've got to imagine that the people surrounding him are just honestly thinking, like, just how many more are out there?
Stop giving him laptops. Maybe give him one Kensington lock so he can, like, tie it around a bedpost or something.
Or a desktop. That way he can't take it somewhere.
A desktop. Correct. Yeah. Why does he need to be on the move doing whatever he's doing?
I don't know.
Why, Gar? Why? I hate it. I hate it, but I love it. He's great news.
Yeah, he really
is.
He's
great news. Oh, it's Wednesday.
It is.
The day we always record.
Yes. It feels
good.
We're
back.
And normal.
I played that clip that Aaron sent us explaining his being absent for the earlier recording and for today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of gusto.
Came in strong, finished strong. A little worried about his mental health, but
he complimented you, though. You notice how he complimented you?
Well, we're both
landed
gentlemen.
And he did not compliment me? Landed gentlemen.
Yeah.
Landed gentlemen. Isn't he supposed to be a communist?
Mm. That's the thing about communists is they're all a little bit landed, right? I don't know.
Grounded. Grounded. Keeping the vibe. Based.
Based.
So Biden is talking to the hooker, right?
Yeah.
And he's talking about how he spent a crazy amount of money and he almost overdosed. And there was one guy who was at the party with him who was like encouraging him to go hard. So like eventually the party ended and Hunter kicks everybody out, cleans up, and he goes to sleep and he wakes up. And next to him is a 35-year-old Russian brunette who refused to leave.
Mm-hmm.
and would not call an ambulance, but they didn't know whether or not he was dying, so they were checking his breath because he fucking fell on the floor in an overdose after the party, and there was a 35-year-old Russian woman.
What a life.
Who picked him up, and there was another guy who accompanied her who he believes stole the computer from him.
Mm-hmm.
They have crazy videos of me doing crazy fucking sex. Fucking, you know, is what he says. That's what he said. And he added that they're going to use it for blackmail because his daddy Joe was going to run for president. He literally says in the video, my dad is running for president. He is. I talk about it all the time. That's in the video.
Criminy.
Come on, man. Come on. How do you write that? You can't write that. That's real.
Have you ever seen Basketball?
Yes.
The movie?
Yes.
Do you remember when Matt Stone's character walks in on Trey Parker watching the Roadkill video?
Yes. Yes.
It's just like, oh. Dude, I feel like everybody around Hunter Biden is just perpetually watching
floundering.
The Roadkill video. Yes.
Fucking floundering, dude. Really struggling.
Jeez. Man.
There's nothing more to say today about that.
Not today. Yeah.
Not today. There's nothing more to say about that today. And then, beyond that, there's a cyber symposium, which I was trying to look into for you, Carr.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absurd. So Mike Lindell.
Yeah, MyPillow.
MyPillow.
Yeah.
MyPillow was holding a symposium from August 10th to the 12th. It was live streamed nonstop, 72 hours. This was the plan. Go to frankspeech.com. Might still be happening, honestly. He said, this is what the brochure reads, Mike will reveal the cyber data and the packet captures from November 2020 election. $5 million challenge in giant gold letters. A $5 million prize will be offered to any attendee who can prove that this cyber data is not valid data from November 2020. This symposium is not open to the public. Invitees include current politicians, cyber experts, and the media. And then in big blue letters, help save our country and make this important event the most watched live event in history. In history.
In history. a humble ask. A humble ask.
In history.
The most watched live event in history.
Bro, So it's a private event, obviously. Invitees were brought through from different industries so they could come together. In frankspeech.com, it reads, despite Biden's title of the Great Unifier, he hasn't exactly done a great job. And now the tensions are running high, it's time to get active. During this event, Mike Lindell will be revealing cyber data and packet captures from the 2020 November election. Skips a little bit. Despite the mockery, it doesn't hide this simple truth. He's talking about how it's not valid data. Regardless of political affiliation, a corrupt election system is disastrous for all of us. Our voting system should not be second-guessed. And when it is, Americans need to stand up. Get you fired up. Get you really fired up. Mike, he'll do that. It got hacked. The first day in, it got hacked. On the 10th, there was a big symposium hack that occurred, and it forced them to push it further. Viral, or Uproxx, whatever the fuck they call themselves these days, a real, you know, blue rag, did an article about how his long-awaited cyber symposium was hacked, and it only descended deeper into batshittery from there. Which, by the way, I can't fucking stand the thing where people who write news articles for anything that's not the New York Times use, like, fucking or shit or, like, you know, in the title. God, I hate that. Right? It's boring. Don't do that. Anyway, he gets hacked, and everybody's mocking him. Now, Carr, we talked a little off air about this. Let's just talk about it very briefly on air. What is the problem with mocking the fact that his symposium got hacked?
Well, it's a little admission that these sorts of hacks are possible, I guess, is one of the things, and being the fact that you are standing on some pretty shaky ground, it seems, in terms of guarding integrity. It's an awkward dance to dance, I would say.
Yeah, I would say maybe we put that that shouldn't be the first thing you go for, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably that should be near the end of the things you pull, and you go, see, we told you. I don't think you want to do that one first. You hold back for a little while. I don't know. So his thing gets hacked. It's still going, evidently. It's still going. Beyond that, there's a few more things that I want to talk about. Let me see if Greg is back. Greg, are you back but
hey,
muted?
Did you guys hear that doorbell?
I got
tired of waiting. I let myself in.
Okay. Yeah, well, thanks.
Thank you.
I came here to watch volleyball. Am I too late?
There's always volleyball.
I'm always peppered.
Literally, when I went to Carr's house, we watched volleyball. That was what we watched.
Sit down. Sit down right now.
Yeah, well, that's what he watched, and I stood by picking my nose.
I thought the prelims were a little harder than the actual final matches. What'd you think?
Oh, yeah, the qualifiers?
Yeah.
In Cancun and stuff? Yeah. The final match was won in only two sets. The Volley Vikings coming away with it. So,
yeah, I only watch women's volleyball because I am not gay.
Mm, that's good. That's
banger.
Amen. Banger. Can't complain. Can't complain with a little women's volleyball.
That's true. Greg, you've arrived. You've arrived on the scene, and you have some cool merchandise with you, Greg.
I do. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Extremely cool stuff. The last time we wanted to have you on, was it your cousin? Was that your cousin?
My brother.
Oh, that was your brother.
My brother Kyle, yeah.
Right. Your brother Kyle came in instead. Great episode. He's very informative. How is Kyle?
He's dead. He died.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's all right.
Kyle died.
Yeah, he's dead.
Wow. Okay. All right, well, let's just move on.
Yep.
All right. That's what he would have wanted us to do.
He would have wanted you to drink a Monster and peel out in a parking lot.
In a Trans Am.
He died how he lived. Going buck wild. You are here. Would we call you an entrepreneur? What are we calling you?
I am now, actually, yeah.
You're a website owner and operator. You're a member of the bourgeoisie. You're in. How does it feel?
Landed
gentry. It feels terrifying.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
That vibes with the general feeling that Aaron cast on the show in the very beginning. But that's
very true.
Yeah. So how long have you been live now?
I just started, I believe, last week.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Damn. So you are in the throes of it right now.
I did. I started this business. It's called Neophyte Gear. It's a playoff of the word neophyte, which means new, newbie, stuff like that. But it's Neophyght Gear. So neophytegear.com. And I started it because I wanted to essentially be able to support people who wanted to do 3D printing or 80% lowers for gun parts. You know, I wanted to support them by giving them one spot that they can go to get everything they need to complete their own build at home.
It is really a one-stop shop, dude.
That was the goal. So I bought everything I needed to do that.
Yeah, I did a perusal. I'm very impressed. Patches. The meme patches are excellent.
I made those myself, actually.
Oh, dude. Excellent stuff. The No FUDs Allowed patches.
Yeah, really,
that's my
that
favorite
one.
One.
Yeah,
that's really
a good
one.
That's Pete's favorite, too.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Man, I wanted to do this because I literally I want to inundate the listeners with all the cool shit you have on there.
Thank you.
You literally have belts, chest rigs, balaclavas, first aid kits, tourniquets,
yep.
Scopes, mounts, buffers, stocks, grips, batteries, earmuffs, rail-mounted flashlights, counter kidnapping handbook.
I do. That's probably my favorite book on the site.
I like that one a lot. I'm gonna have to buy that one. You have the hook it tool, which is an absolute mystery to me.
Yeah,
not sure how that one works.
I would lose that immediately. I can tell you that. That would be, I would buy it. I thought about buying it actually earlier when I was looking at your site, and I was like, well, and I still might, but yeah. I'm going to lose. I'm going to throw it up on a roof or something like that. Yep. Not pay attention to the rope. And there it goes.
It's actually it's the size of a credit card. So I actually keep it in my wallet.
It's the size of a credit card.
Yeah.
That thing is gone. I'd have that for 4 minutes.
You know, like those hospital doors that, they have like a little slit in between. It's made it's made for putting it right in there in case you're locked in somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was like one of those things that you threw on a roof and hook around a pipe and then climb up.
It's not
up.
For being a ninja.
That is also what I thought it was for, Carl. We are such boners.
No, it's much less boners? Exciting. It's for escaping an area that you're trapped in.
Dude, when shit goes down, we are going to be clueless.
Screwed, dude. Sorry. Clueless. Totally screwed. My favorite section, though, Greg.
Throwing credit cards on buildings.
I just named the patches. Rigs and clothing, medical gear, scopes and mounts, firearms upgrades, electrical gear, escape and evasion. Those are all sections that you have with lots of stuff in them.
Yeah.
And then there's one more, my section, the accessories section.
I love the accessories section.
Sunglasses, lubricant, and hot sauce. Now that is a day of fun.
Dude. It is.
Hello. And I noticed there's no tracksuits.
No, I couldn't source them.
Wow.
There's a problem with Adidas not wanting to let go.
Really?
So you gotta get your own Adidas somewhere.
Wow. So
we know someone with a sewing machine.
We
sure do.
Should we make a two-stripe really life instead of three?
Yeah. I bet we could work in some really low wages and bad working conditions as well.
This is why people use sweatshops.
Yes. Yep.
I see it now.
Return.
All of that shit can be found on neophytegear.com. It's there's so much on there that I have no idea how to use, and it would not have stopped me from buying all of it if my paycheck didn't come in that, 4 days from now.
That is actually why I made the hot sauces, so that people who want to support someone who's in the Liberty community, but they're not, you know, firearm minded or they don't want to have medical gear, stuff like that, they can buy the hot sauce that I made with a friend down the road. He actually grows all of his stuff in his greenhouses behind his house. So it's all locally made. I came up with the recipe. He implemented it. And it's pretty good stuff. Everyone seems to enjoy it. So if you want to support me that way, that's the best way to do it.
That's awesome. Now, we must go into the hot sauces.
Yeah.
This will be the second hot sauce brand that a friend of mine owns that I've advertised on this show. And it's a kind of, I don't know why that is, but I'm really excited that we're getting into the hot sauce game. Carr, I think you and I will have a good niche to fill in the guacamole department.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, Greg, you have two hot sauces. They come in the two-pack? Can you get them individually?
It's a two-pack for now. I'm trying to gauge what people like before I restock and sell them individually.
Yes, okay.
And I actually have two more on the way that'll be coming out next month.
Where are you sourcing those?
It's the same company. It's the same person. So it's all locally made in Pennsylvania. So I have two. The two right now are called Red Flag and Green Tip, which are gun terminology, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sticking in the same vein. The Red Flag is a cumin chipotle, which is kind of like a taco sauce, but it's a little spicier.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then the other one is a jalapeno with serranos and tomatillas.
Ooh,
so it's like a salsa.
That's for eggs.
Yeah,
that's for the eggs.
Yeah, so I do eat them on eggs. I think the Red Flag's my favorite as of right now. But I've killed, I think, three bottles each.
What's your? Do you have any people who've tried these already, and what is their gauge? Which one are they liking more? So
yeah,
far?
I actually got Nate just posted a video. It's on my Twitter, so you can go to Neophyte Gear at twitter.com. Same with Facebook and Instagram. But he just posted a review on Twitter, and then I have Anna. You guys know Anna. She loves that. Jared likes that. Everyone knows Jared from his podcast. Who else? And then Melissa's getting hers today.
Ah, okay. So that's you're polling the in-group, and seems like Red Flag is...
The locals, yeah.
The locals, yes. Yeah. The locals.
I think Red Flag might be the best seller after I sell them individually, but we'll see.
Powerful. Well, I really hope so.
Yeah,
I really hope so.
I don't want to turn it. If I have to turn into a hot sauce company, I will. But I do sell actual uppers and.
Yeah, which parts. Is what I was going to pivot into. So what? Like what? I know very little about it, but please go ahead and be like, what do you sell? What's it good for? Where are you sourcing the parts?
Right.
Things like that.
So I'm an Aero Precision dealer. I got in with them earlier. When I set this all up, you have to go like through your bank. I had to go through authorize.net, which is how I take credit cards. So my bank set up a contract with me. Their lawyers went through all my stuff to make sure it's all, you know, legally sent and all that. So once that got set up, I got my, So I got my LLC and all my fun tax documents set up. And then I got with Aero Precision, and I really like Aero parts. They're good, really good quality. And they're just above, I guess you'd say, like M&P Smith & Wesson, M&P 15. I think in quality, they're just slightly above them. So they're fun to have. I have all their parts from them. So the buffers, the lower parts kits, the uppers, everything that makes the gun shoot. I also have sights from different companies. I've got actual physical backup iron sights, and then I have like Trichicons, Sig Sauer. I've got red dots. I've got scopes. So people can truly just, you know, print their lower at home. I've even got the little U-bolt if they want to print one. And then they can just put it all together, you know, using YouTube, whatever you guys do.
Powerful, inspirational.
Yeah,
I'm noticing now the balaclava is in clothing and not accessory, which is a powerful statement in my mind.
It is clothing. Well, you got to wear your mask outside.
That's true. That's true. So are you geared up? Like, do you, like, let's say you're going to an event now. Is it like a NASCAR thing where you're geared up in your gear? Are we doing that?
Yeah, I actually do have all my gear.
Awesome.
My two chest rigs are custom made by a guy in the United States, and we came up with the design together.
That would be a fun name for boobs. Like if they were just called my two chest rigs.
My two chest rigs. That was my band's name in high school.
chest rigs.
You ever blast a fart in space?
Yeah, have you ever blasted a fart in space?
Oh man.
Throwback.
Dude, there's so much. Where'd you get the books from? The handbook.
So that's all from Oscar Delta. I'm also an Oscar Delta dealer. So he is a guy in the UK who was an ex-police officer who's very experienced in like counter intel pro, all that fun stuff. So he knows how to get out of handcuffs, and he's really good at reading the science into like aggression and how it happens and how to spot it. So that's what the counter kidnap and hostage survival book is all about. The escape one's pretty good too. It's all about, there's a kit called the Plan B kit, and it's the only Plan B kit I recommend unless you're a godless whore.
Powerful.
That very well could apply to a lot of
Yeah, yeah, that's very true.
Which is fine. You're free to be a godless whore. But the there's an escape book, and it's all about this Plan B kit, which is a small little kit that has a ton of different escape items. So if you're ever put in a situation that you can get your way out of it, it's pretty exciting, actually.
I am a fan of books, so I found it to be very exciting.
Yeah, they're the physical copies. You can get them on your Kindle, but that's not as fun, especially if the power goes out, you know?
Grid failure.
You need to escape from, so.
Grid failure. Yep. Yeah.
Powerful.
Sure that...
And there's also stuff like even the little Plan B kit has, there's a little thing there. There's a little tungsten carbide bit that you can snap against the window and break it. So, you know, if you're stuck in your car, or you need to break a tempered glass window, it's pretty fun.
Would you live on a simulation of you in Mars, Greg?
I think I already am there right now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Huh. Me on Mars? No, I would hate that.
I'm recalling a thing that we talked about in the earlier portion of the episode, and I'm thinking you have all this survival equipment. You might be able to survive on Mars.
All my survival equipment is so I can be left alone and play Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, so it's all Earth-based. It's not.
Yeah, I want to stay here. Like,
you're not interplanetary.
Do you believe in space at all, Greg?
Do I believe in space?
Yeah, do you believe in space?
No.
No, okay, good.
Obviously. Wow. What
yeah.
All
right.
I really think we might be like 200 guests in, and none of them have believed in space.
Well,
so
space
far.
Is fake and gay.
That's correct.
That's correct.
That's right.
All
right. So great. Good, man. There's a story I want to read out to you guys.
Oh, man. Is it the one?
No. Okay. I have more stories, dude.
I have felt distant for the first 20 or 30 minutes of this podcast because I have that story pulled up. I don't want to rush you, but just go. I'm sorry.
So there's a couple of stories. Daily Mail reported, this was our curveball. This is why we waited till Wednesday, brother. This is the one. Woman, and this is very relatable. Woman, 34.
Ugh, already unrelatable.
Gross.
Well, hold on. It comes back. 34, who claims she dislocated her jaw while eating a KFC stacked burger, reveals she was forced to have it replaced with prosthetic joints. How is that?
All right, it's relatable again. That Holly, was, yeah, the boomerang.
Holly Strevens has had 5 operations and 12 screws on the left side of her mouth.
Did it happen 5 times, or did she require 5 operations for those one time?
The 34-year-old dislocated her jaw while eating a KFC burger. She was diagnosed with temporomandibular joint syndrome.
What if that was just the commonly known excuse when women went to the doctor for a dislocated jaw? KFC burger.
Oh, no. Oh, I think that probably was standard practice, actually. TMJ, as you probably would be more familiar with, which is a disorder of the joint muscles and nerves, which is caused by an inflammation of a connection between the jawbone and skull.
Yeah, all of my girlfriends have had that.
Holly Strevens is the latest victim who had to have 5 operations and 12 screws after she dislocated her jaw. Mm-hmm. After, dude. Okay.
So,
oh my god, it's brutal. The Daily Mail article at the end of it, the last photograph is a picture of the stack burger.
that's rough.
Right? That's rough. Isn't that rough? That would be like a woman is eaten by shark, and the last picture is the shark happily swimming.
What if that was just the thumbnail, and when you clicked on it, it was a stranger? Little inside joke for our for in-group.
Oh man. You're on, that's strike one for you.
Yeah, it was
strike one. Here's the other story, Libertarian of the Week award I'm giving out. We haven't given one of these out for a while. Drunk driver named Booze busted for allegedly crashing into a Taco Bell sign. Do you like that one?
World's falling apart. We're falling apart at the seams, guys.
You know what the best part is?
Dislocating your jaw on a sandwich, running into a Taco Bell sign, and I've got this fucking story on my screen.
Oh, man. A Florida woman with the last name Booze was busted for driving drunk after she allegedly slammed her car into a Taco Bell sign and sped off.
We gotta tighten it up. We gotta tighten it up, humanity.
The cop aptly confronted the driver, whose name was Booze, and found that she had bloodshot, watery eyes, and an odor of alcohol on her breath.
And Taco
Booze,
Bell.
Who works at the Taco Bell where she crashed.
Oh my god, she wasn't even out of the fucking parking lot.
Was charged with driving under the influence.
Could you imagine?
Free Booze.
If the cop pulled over someone named Heroin Cop Killer.
What's your last name, sir?
rape cop corpse.
This is why she's Libertarian of the Week, and if there's a GoFundMe for Booze, her name is Kenesha Booze. If there's a GoFundMe for Booze, let me know. I'll tweet it out. This is why, because she's the Libertarian of the Week. Do you know why?
Why?
After she did all that, well, I guess before she did all that, she had previously been convicted 7 times for driving without a license and once for grand theft.
God, what if
Libertarian
what if
she
of the
can
week.
Change?
Yeah, she can.
I can fix her.
Yeah.
Where's
and here's the last thing. She refused to perform a breathalyzer test.
Well,
Libertarian of the Week.
Yeah.
Libertarian of the Week.
What's her jaw situation?
She's got an excellent jaw. There's a photograph of her mugshot. Powerful jaw.
Wow.
Powerful jaw. Look her up. Kenesha Booze.
What if this was her 7th time hitting that same Taco Bell sign?
Kenesha!
Kenesha, damn it.
Please, stop! She drives over it, backs up, drives over it again.
Wow, there she is.
Yeah, she powerful jaw.
Kenesha Booze.
Powerful jaw.
Very powerful, yeah.
Powerful
that
jaw.
That looks like it can take down a sizable
Taco
sandwich.
Bell sign. Oh, wait, no, wrong story. Yeah, that's right. Cuomo the Creep, we went through that. Oh, boy.
Yep, covered that yesterday. That guy.
Here we are.
Have we arrived? Have we finally arrived?
We're here.
Okay.
Greg, I don't know if you're looped in, but There was a puppet on the timeline.
I am Ed Buck and I actually founded Puppetry of the Penis in Trenton, New Jersey about 19 years ago.
Look it up. Ed Buck Penis. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen. Check that one out.
Okay, so can I just intro this, please? Because
yeah,
this
please.
Has been eating away at me. So,
poor guy.
Bird sent me.
You're going to immediately pin it on me.
This thing in a DM, or texted it to me. And it was one of these things that I just don't know what to do with. And I look at it, and I'm looking at it, I still don't know what to do with it. So, apparently, there is... Well, let me walk you through what happened to me first. I click on it, and what I see is this alarming video of men operating a very, very large, what appears to be maybe paper mache puppet, of a, well, let me read their intro. So this is off of her website, or the website dedicated to her cause. This is, the puppet's name is Little Amal, a little girl on a big journey.
Oh.
Little Amal is the giant puppet at the heart of The Walk, traveling 8,000 kilometers in support of refugees. In 2021, the 3.5-meter-tall living artwork of a young Syrian refugee child will walk across Turkey, Greece, Italy, France, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium, and the UK to focus attention on the urgent needs of young refugees. Little Amal is not so little at 3.5 meters high.
God.
Find out more about how she operates from her creators, Handspring Puppet Company. So first of all, I want to highlight a couple things. This puppet is surreal. I mean,
utterly surreal.
And also, she is not 3.5 meters high. She is way higher than that. Way bigger than that.
Is that, what is that, like 40 feet?
Yeah, no.
American?
Yeah, I know, exactly. I had to think about it for a while, but I think that's about 12 feet. Yeah, 11 and a half, 12 feet. Yeah. So if you look at any of the pictures of or video of people operating her, they are at highest waist level, at most. So this takes a number of operators to operate this puppet, and I guess that they're walking this puppet all the way across on an 8,000
kilometer. Do you
know how
it works? No. You don't know how it works?
No.
I went back, dude. So... But not to interrupt you too much, but I had a really freaky... So you talk about your experience. Here's mine. This is what happened to me. I'm Googling this story, and I see in the DM group that I sent that to you, and Paz goes, this is an old story. And I'm going, I don't know, dude. This thing is reported as happening now. You Google it, Little Amal, on whatever it is, the Memepedia or whatever the major meme... like history tracker is. It
it's
says
already been
it's
killed
this
and
year.
Beheaded by jihadis.
Well, here's the thing, Greg. I also don't know where she is right now.
Oh no, probably.
We
in
don't
pieces.
Know where she went. She just walked
Mosul.
Off,
Mosul.
Like Godzilla,
in a shallow, unmarked grave.
Yeah, outside of Mosul.
This the thing that fucks me up is if you go back in the time machine on Google and search Little Amal. From early 2019, you can find stories about her.
Whoa. Okay, so
it doesn't happen in 2018, so it's 2019 earliest you get stories. I said early 2019, late 2019.
Car.
You get stories about this.
Can you describe this for the people who haven't seen it? Because it's truly insane.
Okay, it is a 15 to 20 foot goofy representation of a young Syrian girl in a dress and jeans and with long flowing hair, and it is operated by people with sticks attached to various parts of her body that they will then mimic human motions. Now, one thing that I noticed is that if you watch the videos, surreal is the word that I just keep coming back to, but she even blinks, and I don't know who's operating the blinking, but
guy
I think
on
that's
stilts.
The part, okay, the stilt guy. So stilt that's guy. Probably the part that freaks me out the most, and I keep having, like, you have to go, you must go look at a video of this. It is truly wild. It's freaky, and I keep thinking about. So I guess what they do is they go around and they go to certain monuments and parks or whatever, and then, you know, it's a whole thing, and they're like operating the puppet and she's walking around and people see her, and all I keep thinking about is what if some like poor dude on his day off from work wanted to just eat a couple mushrooms and go hang out in the woods. And then this thing comes rolling up and you're like, what the fuck is going on? You know, I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. Even if I was just high, I think this would be.
Oh my God, it'd be worse. Terrible. Here's some more tidbits. I really looked into this thing.
Oh, you really did.
Company and shit.
Okay.
The guy who created this is a South African guy who also designed the horse for the movie War Horse. Do you remember War Horse? It was a play about a mechanical horse in like the Hundred Years' War or something like that.
Okay. In World War One, yeah.
Was it World War One?
It was a Spielberg film, too.
This one, yes, okay.
Yeah, so that guy designed this, so that was his amazing creation, and then this comes out, this Eldritch horror.
I don't know what exactly to say about it. I don't know what to categorize this as.
Well, I have an idea onto that. I do. No, please, you first, but I have an idea.
The only thing, so my brain starts to race. I go onto the gerbil wheel and I try to just go through calculations to figure out where exactly this lands. And the only correlation I can make, the only connection that my neurons can make is the Seinfeld reference to the Rachel, one young girl's long erotic adventure from Milan to Minsk. And that's the only thing I can relate it to. And those two things should not go together.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And I don't even know how you're concocting that relationship.
No, because it's a long journey from.
That's true.
I don't know.
Minsk.
Yeah.
Syria to Minsk or wherever.
Yeah.
Correct. Really powerful. I had a thought.
Yeah.
I started looking more and more into this. And as I said, for some reason, this has been around for several years and everybody's making it seem like it just happened. And I didn't see anything about how it got shut down for COVID last year either. Ooh. So I don't really know what the fuck is going on, weird memory hole or untrackable period of history, but whatever. I kept looking into it and eventually I searched Little Amal Puppet Creepy. That's what I searched. And I got an article written by like someone who's dangerously insane. Good. Who goes by rogueruby.com is where I found this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a dangerously insane person wrote this, and I love it. It's excellent. So if I may, I've trimmed it. It's a massive article. I've trimmed it to a couple of relevant paragraphs. I would like to present this to you so that you can, and our listeners can have a little bit of education on the history of radical puppetry. I will begin. The history of radical puppetry is the history of puppetry in service to the people. The tradition of puppetry as the voice of the everyman, the expression of dissent, protest, the real and human concerns of daily life. This history of puppetry and the vitality of puppetry itself has been watered down and buried in commercialization in this country. In recent years, however, there has been a renewed interest in puppetry as the bankruptcy of corporate mainstream media becomes more and more apparent.
What?
Puppets are immediate and authentic. Hewn from scraps of cloth, paper, and duct tape, they are the quintessential tricksters, court jesters without a court, able to cross boundaries of both opinion and propriety, enabling us to critique society and government with handmade beauty and wit. Starting sometime after 600 AD and continuing through the 16th century, puppet shows were mostly seen in service to the church, enactments of biblical stories. Even then, they had a sketchy path through history as they were banned a few centuries for a time for smacking of idolatry, a quote that's not attributed to anything. A turning point came in the 15th century with the advent of the morality plays. These dramas in verse featured personifications of the seven deadly sins. Old Vice, in particular, became a popular rogue and comic who spoke to the common experience with debauchery and vulgar humor. In the 17th century, there was a violent transition from a pastoral economy to industrial capitalism, the destruction of the commons, and the rise of popular resistance movements such as the Diggers and the Ranters. In England in 1642, Cromwell and his Puritans locked the theaters due to the fear of spreading revolutionary propaganda. But the puppets were not seen as important, and so slipped through the cracks. For 18 years, the only theater in England was roving outdoor puppet theater.
I
can't die. That's a crazy sentence.
It's so nuts, man.
Shit. The Lord Mayor of London tried to ban puppet shows.
Like, dude, it's puppets, man.
Oh my god, as well. But then when he died, the shows returned, irreverent as ever, with the Lord Mayor himself appearing as the devil. Giant figures, mostly lightweight, non-articulated stationery, were used in civic and religious festivals in many parts of Western Europe beginning in the 14th century. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, there was a surge of interest in puppetry within the mainstream. Puppets were invited back indoors by the bourgeois. These tended to be marionettes more than hand puppets. To explore the technical side of the art more than the thematic, and to take place in a theater where there could be complex staging and a comfortable setting for the audience. Because real estate requires patronage, these shows tended by default to serve those with money. They were operas and epics which sought to amaze and entertain with trick marionettes and hidden levers. Outside the walls, however, a movement of radical and experimental puppetry was beginning within the avant-garde.
This is just self-aggrandizing insanity.
Isn't this
insane?
Like, isn't this insane? It gets more insane,
sounds
I
like
promise.
A lot of people I know on Twitter.
Yes. Yeah, perpetually up on the cross about something.
In 1888, Alfred Jarry, the eccentric anarchist puppeteer, performed an early version of Ubu Roy, a brutal and irreverent slap at bourgeois morality and stupidity. The play received instant notoriety, not the least of which was that the first word that the king utters on stage is shit. The play debuts as a marionette piece and was later played by masked actors, retaining much of the original puppet quality. Another buried treasure in radical theater history is that there is a huge monument of agitprop and workers' theaters that started in revolutionary Russia and spread through Europe, most notably Germany and England, between two world wars. The Communist Party immediately recognized the popular appeal of theater and peasantry. See how she stopped using the word puppets.
Yeah, where
by
are
the
we
way.
Going?
It's and his usefulness as propaganda. They utilized theater as living newspapers, as well as engaging clowns, circus artists, and puppeteers to spread the word and propagandize the people.
Okay, so this is half of anarchist Twitter right here.
100%.
This is it. Self-aggrandizing, yeah. Going way off the rails into topics that are completely unrelated, conflating
totally
the two.
Totally unrelated.
Yeah.
Under socialism, Lenin had said art would no longer serve the elite. This is a quote. The upper 10,000 suffering from boredom and obesity, but the tens of millions of laboring people, the flower of the country, its strength and future. The design of mass festivals was not just a phenomenon, but was also an intentional and orchestrated design in the Communist Party. But it keeps going, by the way.
Of course, it doesn't.
You know how many paragraphs I've cut in between?
I'm sure millions of useless paragraphs.
Millions of useless paragraphs.
This is anarchy Twitter right here. This is it.
All right. We're going to skip from Lenin through the 30s, which was puppetry inspired by Marxist ideals.
Just self-aggrandizing, self-aggrandizing, childish hysterics. This is it. To drama for the sake of drama. Totally insane. Off the rails, conflating every topic under the sun that comes up, making it about that.
You can imagine the 1960s was the beginning of political puppetry as we know it today.
Christ on sale. I don't want this. I don't need another one of these in my life. I've already got one on Twitter. I've got one on the website. I don't need this. What are they thinking?
1999, the World Trade Organization protests. People began to use puppets as weapons. The concept of the puppetista was born.
Hold on. What? Like as physical weapons?
No, I think they still mean the same bullshit that they meant this whole time.
Christ.
Yeah, World Trade Organization protests. There's a lot of pop puppets everywhere. Dozens and dozens of people out there all around the world making puppets for social causes at greater or lesser levels as a skill. At Convergence Center's Art and Revolution workshops, or with something blah, 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 some more self-aggrandizing, do an image search of radical puppet or political puppet on the net and see what turns up, she writes. The final sentence. So here we are today. We continue forward in history as the unnamed puppeteer, hidden behind the mask of the puppet, giving voice to the people. Educate, agitate, animate.
All right, that's enough of that, I think.
I think you should go another 30 minutes.
More than enough of that.
How bad is that, man?
That's awful. Isn't that something? It is like looking at, it's like I close Twitter to get on here and do a podcast, and I've reopened Twitter in a different format with a different medium.
This is brutal.
So ridiculous. Oh my God.
There's a podcast if you want to listen to the podcast. KPFA, the program is called Against the Grain. I can't tell you what episode it is. Because I didn't look. But that podcast, I'm sure, is very interesting.
Well, this has all angered me. All angered me more than
you can imagine.
I was
you can imagine how I felt discovering this, looking into this. Now, I want to say this is not the justification for Little Amal. This is just someone who's like, puppets
work. Little Amal
work.
Exists in her own little section of the world of,
correct.
Of information.
Little Amal looks like a pallid corpse.
Little Amal
1,000%
is a surreal caricature of a Syrian child.
I will even say this. In the article on my radar, Michael Morpurgo's Cultural Highlights, this is the guy who wrote the book War Horse, he described Little Amal, the puppet, as a wondrous sculpture, an inspired idea, a beautiful message of intent and hope.
If
this is
Amal,
delusional.
If Little Amal was what Obama was bombing, I would be pro.
Very pro. Very pro. Man.
Yeah, no doubt.
So yeah, that a little delusion to end the show, I think.
Well, that certainly is.
Do you feel drunk like booze? Do you feel drunk like booze?
No, I feel awful. I just feel very frustrated.
How do you think booze felt? That was her seventh time hitting that sign.
Yeah, yep. Well, I've hit two signs. You know, one anarchy Twitter, and then the next one, and I didn't even see the sign coming. And
episode 37
blasted over my hood, and it turns out it's radical puppetry.
Radical puppetry, dude.
So
people out there believe what I just read.
That sucks. Yeah. Let me take a poll, I guess podcast poll of the two of you. I've seen a number of, well, I think we've all seen the push towards more lockdowns, et cetera, et cetera. What are our thoughts? Do you think they're going to push it? Do you think there's going to be some crazy federal shit coming the later this week as soon as we publish this episode, for instance?
Probably. They just do what they want and then, you know, come up with the reasons later, like that whole CDC thing, and they know it's illegal, but it doesn't matter, they can still do it and then wait for everyone to sue them. So so probably more of the same. I think people's tolerances are getting slimmer and slimmer,
dude. The you know, you just, Carl, you just said, do you think something's coming? You know, they just passed the $1.2 trillion infrastructure deal. Have you seen some of the things in that?
It's Looney Tunes.
You can't question the CDC. It's actually considered a hate crime.
Is that right?
Correct.
Wow,
that's incredible.
It is a they've finalized gender equality in the bill and anything that approaches
we're all equal now.
A hate crime.
Finally, time to punch my
federally.
Wife.
It was a KFC burger, whatever. Yeah. And this is the kicker for me. It mandates that new cars produced after a certain year have to have either a breathalyzer or a spy camera in every car.
It sounds reasonable.
Can you imagine what the used car market's going to do? Even like that, imagine it now and then imagine it after that.
Man, how about the 3D printed car market?
Poor buzzed McDrunkface is never going to be able to drive again.
Yeah.
Oh, booze.
Oh, booze.
Kenosha is not going to be able to get to work anymore.
Isn't that what they did with backup cameras? Isn't that why everyone has a backup camera now?
Yeah, more probably, I guess. But this is...
under the guise of safety will...
What if they got the wording crossed and it turns out that your car would only go if you're drunk backwards? Huh. Like you had to drive using the backup camera if you're drunk?
Jesus.
That'd be wild.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I could use that.
Yeah.
This is the thing, is that this is the way to get to automized cars. It's just everybody drives drunk.
Yeah.
Everyone in America has driven drunk multiple times.
I'm driving drunk right now.
Right now.
We're all driving. That's the podcast standard. Is we drive. We drink, we drive, and we talk.
Do we recommend it? No.
Of course
but
not.
It happens.
Unless you want a podcast.
And you know what? You're free not to.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, there's a lot of wild shit. Obviously, the cryptocurrency stuff. I don't know where exactly the dust settled on that, but
we'll have to do a little deeper dive into that one. I think.
Yeah,
a little short.
I think I may do a little bit deeper dive for my show this Friday. But we'll see. I'm actually recording that tonight. We'll see if we get to it.
All right.
So, yeah. I mean, Little Amal,
Booze,
Radical Puppetry.
Shout out to Booze.
Breathalyzers, Neophyte, Greg.
Yeah, thank
Kyle,
you.
Kyle.
Thank you for having me. Rest in peace,
Rip
Kyle.
Rest in peace, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man. It's always awesome to promote in-group stuff. So
thank you.
Awesome.
I hope it gets to the right people.
I'm sure it will.
The 3D gun community is who I'm going to be focused on.
For sure.
So hopefully they can hear it.
We got anything else?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Until next week, keep two hands on the wheel.
Squaw!